Yud Perek Chamisha, the instrument, the 25th chapter of Hilchos Ishus, the laws concerning marriage, and this is the final Perek of this section. Halacha Aleph, Hanosi Ishus Stam, the Nimtzu or Leva Nidarim, Teitze Belo Ksuba, Lo Ikiv, Lo Tosus. If a man marries a woman without stipulating any conditions, and she's found to have had made vows, she must leave without benefit of her Ksuba. Neither the basic amount nor the supplementary amount. She loses everything. The Elun Darim Ne Amru, what kind of vows does this refer to? Shlotocha Basa or Shlotish the Yayin or Shlotis Kash the Minik Tivonim. A vow that she will not eat meat, she will not drink wine, or she will not adorn herself with colored garments. Luhu Adin Mushah Aminim Shaderach Kol Nesheha Matim Lehiv Kash Behem. The same would be true with other ornamental objects with which it is the local custom for all women to adorn themselves. If, however, she is found to be subject to a vow other than these, then she does not lose anything. As long as the vow does not afflict her and renders her undesirable to her husband, it would not be an impediment to the marriage, and therefore she would not lose her ksuba. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. V'chein ha'konis ishastam, minimtza b'mum, mimumei ha'nashim shekvar b'yanum, v'lo yoda ha'bal b'mum zev, lo shama bo, v'ratzo. Harei zo teitze b'lo ksuba, lo ikhe v'lo tosmus. Thus also, if a man marries a woman without stipulating any conditions, and she is found to be afflicted with one of the female defects, which we have already described in an earlier chapter, and if the husband was unaware of this defect, nor did he hear of it, so that he might have accepted it, she may be dismissed without her ksuba, and she loses the basic amount as well as the supplementary amount. Ketza, haya merchatz b'ir, v'haya lo krovin, eile yachaloma lo yadaiti mumen elu, v'afimu mumen shebeseisa, v'pnei shehu bodek v'krovoso, v'chazaka sheshama v'rata. How so? If there's a public bathhouse in the city, and if he has relatives, the husband cannot say, I was not aware of these defects. Even if these are hidden blemishes, he can't say that, because he is bound to investigate the matter through his female relatives. And the presumption is that he had heard of the defects, and if he heard of it and said nothing, then he had accepted them. The im ein shom merchot, o shlohayu lo krovim, toein the mumin shabaseisa. If there is no public bathhouse there, or if he has no relatives, then he may put in a claim concerning the concealed defect. V'nichta be'itim yiduim harihu mimumi seisim. Now, epilepsy, recurring at definite times, is considered to be a concealed defect. Avu b'mumi shebegolui eime yachalitim shaharei hakol roin oitzam v'omim lo v'cheskosu shoshama v'nispayis. In the case of an obvious blemish, however, the husband has no claim, inasmuch as everyone can see them and is bound to tell him. The presumption is, therefore, that he had heard of them and became reconciled to them. He accepted them. The imtaiti habas lamerchas b'neshav taiti mitznach keira ulo yira osa adam chutz mikrova seha harei zetoen av the mumin shabagoli. Now the Rambam says, it is obvious that this rule applies only to those places where it is the custom for women to walk about in the street with their faces exposed, and where everybody knows them well enough to say, this one is a daughter of so-and-so, and that one is a sister of so-and-so, as is in the case in the cities of Edom at the present time. In those places, however, where it is the custom for women not to go out on the street at all, and where a woman would go out to the public bathhouse only at night and disguised, so that no one could see her except her own female relatives, he may put in a claim, the husband might claim, concerning even obvious defects, provided Now, this fact that he can put in a claim, even regarding obvious defects, is provided that there is no public bathhouse there, and that he has no female relatives to examine her. If, however, there is a public bathhouse in that city, and it is the custom there for women not to go out with uncovered faces, He cannot protest if he has a female relative, inasmuch as everyone can see her undressed in the bathhouse. The im darkon v'hisnake u'vizcha be'af b'merchot, v'shetiyah habas v'chetzes b'layla v'bayis katan b'merchot v'vada, ad sh'lo t'ro v'lo t'vada, harei z'toin av d'mum shebegoli. If, however, it is the custom to go about disguised and to seek privacy even within the bathhouse, so that a woman would bathe only at night or alone in a little compartment within the bathhouse, thus she would neither be seen nor recognized, the husband might then claim, even with regard to the obvious defect, because he has no way of knowing that they existed. And the Rambam concludes this halacha by saying, "V'hadvarim elu dvarim shel tamhein ve'enim gzeres hakasuv." These are matters of common sense and are not simply based on scriptural decree. There's logic behind this argument. If it would have been just based on a scriptural decree, we would not have made distinctions between one place and another. Since it's based on logic, we're basing this on the idea that the husband, if he knew about it, he doesn't say anything, he accepts it. But if he doesn't know about it and he has no way of knowing about it, then obviously he doesn't accept it. That is the logic that determines when we apply this law and when we do not. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Hodu miktas ha-ga'onim, sh'zeh sh'omru chachamim, mipnei sh'hu bodek de krovosov, ein ha-krovosov bilvad, el afilum yudav. Some of the ga'onim, the post-Talmudic rabbis, have taught that the statement of the sages that we referred to earlier, because the husband is bound to investigate the matter through his female relatives, in reference to the fact that if he has female relatives, he cannot claim that he doesn't know about those defects. This statement, the Gaonim say, refers not only to relatives, but also to mere acquaintances. The afilu ha-yigar be'ir she'en lo kar of klau, im yesh ha-merchatz, ein ha-yachal iton, she'yev she'shlo yiyu lo reyim, ve'omer lo echad mireyav, she'tivdik lo ishto o achos lo aponis, ve'lo'ficha cheskaso she'shama v'nispais. Even if he lives in a city where he has no relatives at all, so long as there is a public bathhouse there, he cannot protest, because it is impossible that he should have no friend. And he would therefore would have asked one of them to have his friend's wife or his sister examine so and so for him. The presumption, therefore, is, according to these Gaonim, that he had heard of the defect, but accepted it. Now the Rambam tells us what his opinion is. Velo yiroa lidin ze. She'en kol odem motzi kol ma sheyesh b'libo b'dvarim elu l'kol, elu l'krovov. V'yod, she'en daitis omechas, elu l'divrei krovov v'yoser. This rule, however, the Rambam says, that does not seem sound to me, because in such matters, talking about very private matters, not every person would reveal all that is in his heart to anyone else except his own relatives. And moreover, he would not rely too much on anyone's advice except that of his relatives. Therefore, the Rambam restricts this principle only to relatives and not to other people. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Ketzad hitayna samumin. How is the claim concerning defect to be made? Im hayu hamumin sheninsu ba, mumin shevadei hayu ba kodesh v'tisaris, kigon etzba yisera v'kiyotzi bo, al va'av l'haviraya sheyada behem habal v'ratza, o shechaskasa sheyada. Now, if the defects found in her are of such a nature that it was of a certainty that she had them before she was betrothed, for an example, if she had an extra finger or the like, in this case, her father has the burden of proof. He has to show that the husband was aware of them and accepted them, or that the presumption is that he was aware of them. If he can't bring any proof, then she leaves and she forfeits her ksubah. Now, if the defects, the blemishes, are such that they might have developed in her after she was betrothed, then we do as follows. If they are discovered after she enters into her husband's house, then the husband has the burden of proof that she had them before the betrothal and that his acquisition of her was based on a mistake. And that is called a mekartos, a purchase that is in error and it is void. If the defects are discovered while she is still in her father's house, the father then must prove that they had developed after the betrothal, and that it is therefore the groom's misfortune. Since she was already betrothed, and therefore he had already made the purchase, the acquisition of his wife, before she developed those defects. So it was in his possession that the defect merged, and therefore it is his loss, the husband's loss. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Hey, the Habalraya, Sha'ad Shalot Yisaris Hayuba, or Shahodalobakach. Now the husband brings proof that before the betrothal she already had these defects, or she confesses to it. But then the father brings proof that the husband saw these defects, and he was silent about it, and he was reconciled to it. Or that the presumption is that he knew about it and he was reconciled to it. For example, the blemish was very clearly visible and he saw it, even though we don't really know what he had in his mind, the presumption is that in his mind he saw it and he accepted it. So in this event, he is obligated to pay her ksuba. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Now, he has relations with his wife, and then he waits several days, and then he comes to court and he claims that this blemish was not seen to him until now. Even if the defect is in the folds of her skin or on the sole of her foot, we don't pay any attention to that claim. And the reason for it is, the Rambam says, because there's a presumption here that a person would not drink out of a cup first examining it thoroughly. It is therefore presumed that he was aware of the defect and he accepted it. Paragraph 7. If a man marries a woman who is then found to have no regular menstrual cycle, so that she feels the onset of menstruation only as the flow of blood commences, she should not indulge in marital relations with her husband without making use of two cloths with which she examines herself, one before having relations and one after. This is in addition to the cloth with which the man should wipe himself, as will be explained in the laws concerning forbidden intercourse in the next book of the Mishnah Torah. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. The afal pishamum gadol huzeh lo hafsida klum. And even though this is a very great defect, the fact that she doesn't have the regular menstrual cycle, so he never knows when she is in her state of nida and when she is not, nevertheless she does not forfeit any of her financial rights, ksuba and the like, because she can examine herself before having relations, and then she can have relations. Now, what happens? If she examined herself, and it turned out it was all right, and then they had relations, and after having relations, she then wipes herself, she and he with their cloth, and they find blood on either her cloth or on his cloth. Im eleze pam acha pam shalosh pamim smucha zulu zu harei zu asura leishevim baila b'teitza b'lo ksuba lo ike b'lo tosfus. If this occurs three consecutive times, she is forbidden to remain with her husband, she must be dismissed, and she loses her ksuba, both the basic amount and the supplementary amount, because there can be no greater blemish or defect than this. The ein lo t'nai mitznoi ksuba. Now, she loses all of the stipulations that go along with the ksuba, because she is no longer fit for having relations with her husband. Therefore, he dismisses her, and he's never allowed to take her back again. Now, the reason why he can never remarry her, because we're afraid maybe she will be cured of her medical problem, the fact that she has her period always after having relations, and as a result, the divorce might be construed as not being given with a full heart, with complete sincerity. Therefore, the divorce might not really take effect. Now, what's wrong with that is that she might, in the meantime, marry someone else. And then the husband might say, well, if I would have known that you could have been cured, I would never have divorced you. That questions the whole validity of a divorce, in which case she might be considered committing adultery, as she is now married to another man. And the children would, of course, be mamzerim, illegitimate. That's why we tell the husband, make sure that when you give this divorce, you're giving it with a complete heart, with all sincerity, and with total resolve, because you're never going to be able to take her back again. So the husband makes up his mind that he is going to give her the divorce unconditionally and without any hesitation and without any questions about the fact that she is going to be divorced from him. However, even though she has this problem, which would preclude her from having relations with any man, since she's always going to have her period as a result of having relations, nevertheless, she is permitted to marry someone else, as will be explained further in the laws concerning the menstruant woman, because it's possible that she only had this condition due to one man, but she will not have it with another husband. Halacha test, paragraph 9. B'med dvarim amurim, when does the foregoing apply? B'shehaytukach mitzchilas nisu'eha, u'mabi'ila rishona ras adam. If this happened at the outset of her marriage, and from the first time she had relations, she already saw blood. But if this sickness occurred after she was married to him, then it is his field that was flooded. That's an expression to mean that it's the husband's misfortune, and he has to bear with it, and she doesn't have to lose her financial rights. Therefore, if he had relations once, and there was no blood as a result, and then afterwards she then has her period every time they have relations, three consecutive times, he must dismiss her, but here he has to give her entire ksuba, and he can never remarry her again, as we just explained. So even though he has to give her the divorce, and he can never remarry her, she is entitled to her financial rights, because it happened as she was already married to him, and it was after he had acquired her, so therefore it's his misfortune. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. V'chein isha shenoldu l'bam mumin achas shenisei, tafilu nasis mukes shchin, imrata l'kayim yikayim, v'imrata l'hotzi yitin ksubam. Likewise, if a woman develops these defects after the wedding, even if she becomes stricken with boils, nevertheless, if he wants to keep her, he's allowed to keep her. If he wants to dismiss her, he must give her her ksuba, because it developed after the marriage. Yud Aleph. Paragraph 11. Ha'isha nolda b'mumin achashanasa afilo nikta yada or ragla or nisneis eina v'l'ratza ishto leishav imo ein kofin osa l'hotzi v'liten ksuba el imratza teishav im l'ratza teitzi b'lo ksuba k'din koma redis. Now, what happens if the tables are turned? Now, it's the man who is stricken with some type of defect after the marriage. Even such defect as the amputation of his arm or leg or the blinding of his eye, and if his wife refuses to live with him, he could not be compelled to give her a divorce and pay her her ksuba. What we do instead is, either she consents to live with him, and she may do so. If not, she must be dismissed without her ksuba, like any other rebellious wife. If, however, he develops bad breath or nasal odor, or if he turns to collecting canine droppings, ewing copper out of its source, or tanning hides, these are all very dirty and smelly types of labor, he must be compelled to give her a divorce and pay her her ksuba. However, if she is willing to live with him, she may do so. She's not obligated to demand a divorce. Halacha Yibes, paragraph 12, Nasa ha'ish mukashin kofenos lahotzi liten ksuba. If a man is stricken with boils, that we then coerce him, we force him to give her a divorce and to grant her her ksuba as well. Now, here, in this case, even if she's willing to live with him, we don't pay attention to her request, we don't honor her desire, and they should be separated against their wishes because she is bound to aggravate his condition. If, however, she says, let me live with this man in the presence of witnesses that will guarantee that we have no relations with one another, her wish may be honored. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13, and the final halacha of this chapter. Misha haya baila, bal reecha peh, reecha chotem, o malak etzoas kolovim, v'kiyotza behen, umeis, v'naf mulut me'achi, v'yesh ba'osa mum, shahaya bebaila, yecholi hiloma, v'yachicha hayisi yecholo lakabel, u'lecha eni yecholo lakabel, if a woman's husband is afflicted with bad breath or nasal odor or collects canine droppings or has a similar defect that we just talked about before, and if he dies and she then becomes subject to levirate marriage, that means she has to marry her husband's brother if the husband died without any children, Now, the brother-in-law is afflicted with the same defect. The wife could say, from your brother I could take it, but from you I cannot. And he must then submit to chalitza, that's the ceremony that releases her from him and allows her to remarry, and pay her her ksuba. And the Rambam, in many editions, concludes with on a positive note, quoting a biblical verse from the book of Psalms, Re'ei banim levanecha shalom al Yisrael, and you will see children to your children, peace will come to Israel. This is a reference to the fact that if one has children, then there is always peace. There's no need to have to go through this levirate marriage, because once the husband dies with children, she is free to marry anyone else. And with this, the Rambam concludes the 25th chapter of Hilchos Ishus, and Sliko Hilchos Ishus. With this, we conclude the study of the laws concerning marriage.